therapy that I took was very essential, very important, and that was praying in the spirit all the time. And I asked everybody some questions in the beginning, what is praying in the spirit, and we went through the whole thing to understand what is praying in the spirit. And we mentioned that every Christian, when they pray, they really pray in the spirit because they have the Holy Spirit in them. And if you are not a Christian, you can still pray, but it's not from the Holy Spirit, it's not from the heart, it's not from the soul, but it's only very fleshly from the lips. And we went through some scriptures. So praying in the Spirit is praying in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in you, and it's really from the heart and the soul, pouring out your soul to the Lord. And so today we are going to continue in the same manner, in the same scripture, verse 18, which says, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance and making supplications for all the saints. That's what I'm going to enlarge today on, making supplications for all the saints. That is intercessory prayer. I don't know your prayer life, okay? Only God and you know how your prayer life is. And part of your prayer life is one of the most important part of the prayer life is intercessory prayer. And what do you mean by intercessory prayer? I'm going to explain to this, as a lot of people are watching on hearing this sermon on the internet. And many of these sermons are going to the Philippines, so I had to break it down these words so everybody can understand. What do you mean by intercessory or to intercede? Intercede is basically, it means to pass between. It means there are two people here to stay in the gaps, so there will be a communication. Alright? It means to plead in favor of another person or to mediate on behalf of another person. Now, understand, we are going through spiritual warfare here, as we are called soldiers for Jesus Christ. Now, as soldiers are involved in a warfare. Even if you think about the physical realm of this, soldiers who are involved in a warfare, they cannot fight on their own. They need to have support. They need to have help. And they need aid. And they need encouragement. So here, even soldiers, there are other people helping them. Sometimes bringing them in the gap. In the same way, how much more if there's a spiritual battle we are engaged in? How much more we are engaged in a spiritual battle as soldiers for Jesus Christ, we need support from one another, interceding for one another. And Apostle Paul goes on to say, making supplications for all saints. What does supplication mean? What do you mean by supplication? The word supplication comes from a Latin word. It comes from the word sub, basically means under, okay, submarine, under, okay. It has a meaning of bending, okay, or when you bending. So it has a meaning of humbleness, humility, kneeling before the majesty of God, begging humbly before prayer, begging humbly in earnest prayer. Here we see how we need to pray humbly and earnestly before the King of Glory for the other Christians. And this is true Christianity. So Ephesians 6:18, if you see the context, is to pray in all times in the Spirit. Also, it says, with perseverance. With perseverance. There is a difference of prayer between a real Christian and a hypocrite. The hypocrite also can get convinced of sin after hearing the sermon most of the time. They can get convinced and convicted of sin, and they can, for a moment, they can bend their knees in prayer to God. It's just like the morning, early morning dew that comes, but the rising of the sun, it disappears. In the same way, many will pray only when they are in trouble, only when they have problems, only when they have hardship, difficulties. That's the time they think about God and prayer. And they will ask other people to pray. But the true Christian who is renewed by the Holy Spirit never forgets God's mercies. Never forgets God's mercies. Never forgets God's love. Never forgets to pray not only for himself, but truly concerned for his brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Now, he asks you another question. Why do you have to intercede? Why do we have to intercede for other people? The answer, before we knew Christ, we were selfish, prideful creatures, and we were envious creatures, selfish and prideful. We did not care for other people, really. If we did care, we had some hidden motivations, or just to show the people around us, oh, I did care for other people. That's pride. We did not go all the way out to help other people. We were concerned our own belly than the brother or the sister who had no food. But when Christ came to our heart, when the Holy Spirit resides in our heart, we become like Christ as He gave us a new nature. The greatest example is Christ Himself, the Lord Jesus Himself, as He interceded for us when we were, what do you mean, how did He intercede for us? Well, we were separated from the infinitely holy God because of our sins. Because of our sins, we have sinned against Him, and we have violated His commandments, and because of our sins, we have been separated from Holy God. And we were only good for destruction. We were only good to go to hell. And the wrath of God was upon us. But Christ, in His mercy, in His love, in His grace, interceded. That means He came between the Father and the sinner. He came between the Father and the believing sinner, and He interceded for us. That means He became our high priest. He became our mediator. And He fulfilled all the law where we have violated. Christ fulfilled it. And not only that, at Christ, He took the punishment on our behalf. The punishment was due to us. The wrath of God that was going to fall upon us was Christ took that wrath. He took that punishment. And Christ, you know, we hurt the Father, we have injured the Father, but Christ Jesus, He satisfied the Father when all the sins that we have committed was Christ took all those sins upon Himself, and the Father was satisfied what Christ did on the cross on our behalf. Not only that, Christ, still we cannot go to Him. Even if we say, Father, forgive us, we have sinned, still we cannot go to heaven yet. Because we are still zero balance. You know, if we have sins, for instance, an example, let's say you've got 80% sins and Christ came and forgave your sins, now you're zero. But still you cannot go to heaven because heaven is positive always, not zero. So what did Christ do? He imputed His righteousness to us. Now we have a positive righteousness. Righteousness that same as the Father. Righteousness of God that was imputed to us. Now we can go to heaven. Because before we were hell bound, now we are heaven bound. That was done because Christ interceded for us. Okay? That's the greatest example we can see how our Savior stood in the gap between the Holy God and the believing sinner. Now, think about this. Why do we pray for others? Why do you pray for other people? Is it just because I had to pray because, you know, it just says to pray? Then it becomes a ritual. You pray because, oh, I got to do my prayers now. Then it becomes a ritual. It becomes a religion. But why do you really pray for other people? Does it be just you pray just because it says in the Bible? Think about it. What is the root of intercessory prayer? Is it because, oh, I see that Christ interceded for us, so I have to pray now? Still, it becomes a ritual if it's not from the heart. Why? Because the root of intercessory prayer is because of love. It's because of love. Christ, He set the example, He set the example, and He exhibited love. Love was shown in action by Jesus Christ. It was not saying, I love you. He demonstrated love for the believing sinner because it cost him great pain, but the result was awesome. So the root of intercessory prayer is because prayer is really loving other people. Loving the saints. Loving the brothers and sisters. That is why we pray. Because Jesus Himself said in John chapter 13 verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you truly love another person, you will think about that person. You will pray for that person. You will encourage that person. You know, it's very easy to tell somebody, I will pray for you. But we forget, a lot of times people forget. What did I say? I pray for you. A lot of times people will say, I pray for you. Then after a while that person comes and tells you, oh, thank you, brother, for praying for me. Lord answered my prayer. That person never prayed for me. And he gets convicted. It's so easy to tell somebody that you will pray for that person, but inwardly, if you don't have any love for that person. If you truly love that person, you will think about that person. True love follows with action, always. Love doesn't talk only. Love will show action. Love will show, demonstrate. And how do I know this? Christ showed the example. That's the way we should be. In James chapter 2 verse 15, James goes on to say, James chapter 2 verse 15, if a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is it that? So also by faith, it does not work it does not have works with death. So what James is telling is here, if you see somebody who is in need, who doesn't have food, who doesn't have clothes, but you say, well, I'm going to pray for you, brother. What good is it if you're just going to pray for that person, but if you're not giving that person any food? So always remember, okay, remember that we need the prayers should follow with action. If you're just praying for a person and there is no action behind it, there is no love for that person then. So may the Holy Spirit cause us to understand this, cause us to hit home to our heart what we are talking here, because it's so important. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of intercessory prayer in the Old Testament. There are a lot of examples in the Bible, but because of the time limit we have, we cannot go everything. So it's going to be just limited. But the few examples that I'm going to give you, I want you to understand, alright? The Old Testament is very important. Now, if you turn with me to Job chapter 42, read from verse 1 to 10. Job chapter 42. Job is soon after the book of Psalms, chapter 42, before Psalm, chapter 42, says here, and then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is in this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And here we see a perfect example of Job's confession and repentance. And it's so important for us to see that even before we pray for other people, we need to see the standing we have before God. Okay? So we need to have confession and repentance. Then after that, verse 7 says, after that the Lord spoke these words to Job. The Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my anger burns against you and against the two friends. You have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. And the Lord was not pleased with Job's friends for their counsel. So, verse 8 says, now therefore take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourself, and my servant Job shall pray for you. And I will accept his prayers, not to deal with your calling to your folly, for you have not spoken of me what is right, what my servant Job has. And here we see, verse 10 says, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends. What a wonderful example we have here. How Job prayed for his friends, even though they did not give the right counsel. How Job prayed for his friends. And a lot of times the initiator of intercessory prayer is God himself. Initiator. He's the one who begins. The New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 8, says that the Holy Spirit that is in us, He allows us to pray according to His will. Another example in the Old Testament is Abraham. Abraham praying for Abimelech. Remember the story how Abraham, in Genesis chapter 20, Genesis chapter 20 verse 6. Genesis chapter 20. We see the story how Abraham, he left and he journeyed toward the territory of Negev, lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to his wife, Abraham said of his wife, Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. And the king Abimelech, Abraham was scared of Abimelech and said, she's not my wife, she's my sister. And to make a long story short, but God came, verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. That means she's married. But Abimelech never touched this woman. And you know the story. And you see in verse 7, then God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Wonderful scripture. Even here, it was God who kept him sinning against him. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, then return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you, and you shall live. And here, we see in verse 17, Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, and also healed his wife and female slaves, so they both children. We see here how Abraham prayed for King Abimelech. Intercessory prayer. Another good example is how Abraham interceded for Sodom. In chapter 18, few pages before, we see how God appeared to Abraham. And then verse 22 in chapter 18, we see the men turned from there and they were going towards Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. And here we see Abraham, how he stood before the men of Sodom and the Lord. Stood in the gap. He was in between. Abraham was concerned of Sodom. Why? Because his nephew Lot was living there. He had a love for Lot. That's his nephew. And Lot and his family were living there. Then Abraham, here we see Abraham is his prayer to the Lord. So then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Abraham saw there are righteous people living there in Lot. That was in Sodom. That was Lot, his nephew and his family. Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous sake? And here we see how Abraham keep on going all the way down. And at the end, even for the sake of, all the way down, even for the sake of 10 people, verse 32, oh, let not the Lord be angry, I will speak again, but this once, suppose 10 were found there, he answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And here we see how Abraham praying, interceding, he cared for them, you know, caring, concerning, having, feeling the pulse of another person, feeling that their own like yours is important. Remember how Moses interceded for his people many times, many, many times. But let us see just one example. And we know the horrible thing that happened in Exodus chapter 32. When Moses was with God and he was delayed to come. And he was taking time to come. He was delayed. And the children of Israel, they got into their flesh. They said, oh, where's Moses? He's not here. Maybe he's dead. Then what did they do? They told Aaron, they kind of persuaded Aaron, told Aaron, push him to make a calf you know, Aaron told, why won't you get all the gold earrings of all the people? So they melted these earrings. Of course, Aaron was involved and made, they made a golden calf. And how they prayed for that calf, saying, these are your gods. But the next day when Moses came, Exodus chapter 32, verse 30, we say, the next day Moses said to the people, you have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up to the Lord, perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. And Moses saying, God is going to destroy you. But I will, perhaps, I will intercede for you. I will pray. I will make atonement for your sin. What kind of atonement is Moses going to do? So Moses returned to the Lord and said, alas, these people have sinned against a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold, but now if you forgive their sins, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. Moses was interceding with such great passion, such great love for these people, and he said, blot me out of the book. Take me out. I'm basically saying, sacrifice me. Kill me. I will be a sacrifice for the people who live. And that's passion. That's love. That's true love. And intercessory prayer, another one example in the Old Testament. How Elisha prayed for his servant. You know, one thing we need to remember in when it comes to everything what is happening in the physical realm, even prayer, reading the Bible, meditating upon God, we need to see everything from a spiritual perspective. God is Spirit, Holy Spirit lives in you, and you pray in the Spirit, and you need to see in the Spirit. Okay? The more closer you come to God, the more closer you live in the presence of God, the more you see spiritual things. But if you're far away from God, you don't see spiritual things. You, all what you see is everything fleshy. So here in your 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, we see the king of Syria was baffled. You know why the king of Syria was baffled? Because he was baffled because Elisha told the king of Israel everything in detail what the king of Syria is going to do for him. Everything in detail was spoken by Elisha to the king of Israel what the king of Syria is going to do. Now, and king of Syria got to know this. How does Elisha know what we are talking? How does he know every word that I'm talking? Huh? And he called his servants. King of Syria called his servants. And verse 12 says, one of his servants said, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Even, yeah, he knows everything what you're talking. He tells the king of Israel what you're talking in your bedroom. That means you cannot hide. So what did the king of Syria do now? I'm going to paraphrase here. King of Syria, what he did was, he got a huge army. Massive army. And he said, where does this prophet now? And they said, prophet is in Dothan. He is in Dothan now. Okay. I'm sending a huge army. I want you to catch that prophet. Capture him. Just imagine. Now, king of Syria is sending a huge army, not to fight against Israel, but to catch one prophet. Just one prophet. Now, the story becomes very interesting as Elisha had a servant when the servant woke up the following morning, opened his eyes, what did he see? He saw a huge army surrounded. And his heart fell and fear came all over, and he went and told Elisha. And what did here it says here, verse 15, and the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out. Behold, the army with horses and chariots was all around the city, and the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Elisha said, verse 16, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are within. Elisha said, don't be afraid. Those who are with us is more than the army that you see. In the New Testament, the Bible says, he that is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Mm-hmm. Verse 17, then Elisha prayed. He prayed for the servant and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, what did he see? The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Spiritual. That's why you need to see spiritual things, brothers and sisters. A lot of times people get into the flesh and their hearts sink. But we need to get into the spiritual. And how do you get into the spiritual? God, open my eyes so that I can see you. Get closer to the Lord. And here we see how Elisha prayed for his servant. Alright? Now, there are so many examples in the Old Testament. As I said, we cannot go due to our time limit. But let me remind you that intercessory prayer has been practiced by the best of God's saints. In the New Testament, the best example of intercessory prayer is our Lord Himself. How our Lord cried out and said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do not know what they are doing. In James chapter 5, verse 16, in the New Testament says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power. And in the New Testament, I'm going to give you a few examples. One of the greatest examples we see is the scripture that we read today in the morning. The high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are no priests today. The priest is a mediator. Okay? The only priest is Jesus Christ. He is called a high priest. And high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17. We see in John chapter 17 how Jesus prayed for the church and also for the disciples. And verse 9 says, I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but I'm praying for those who you have given me, for the believers. And also how the golden tongue of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, Holy Father, keep them in your name which you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Isn't that love? That they may be one as we are one. And when you have love in the body, what do you have? Unity. 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 As they may be one as we are one. As when you love for one another, care for one another, pray for one another, and follows with action, what do you have? You have unity. You don't have enmity. You have unity. And here, Then Jesus said, I have guarded them. Not one of them has been lost, except for the son of destruction. And also he has been said, verse 14, I have given them your word. Wow, what a blessing when our Savior gives us the word to ourselves. And also, verse 15 says, keep them from the evil one. Wow. Isn't it a blessing when our Savior is praying for us and telling to the Father, protect them from the evil one. That is intercessory prayer. And so, you know, remember how Satan wanted to destroy Peter. And Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that you might sift you, that he might sift you like wheat. He wanted to totally destroy Peter, sift him like wheat. What did Jesus say? But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fall. That is intercessory prayer. That is interceding. That's Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 12, how Herod the king beheaded James, the brother of John, and then took Peter to prison? And what happened? What did the church do? Peter was kept in prison. In Acts chapter 12 verse 5 says, Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer from him was made to God by the church. The church prayed for Peter. How many times we see Apostle Paul interceding in prayer for the saints in the New Testament? He always remembered to pray for the saints. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16 says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Philemon chapter 1 verse 4 says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. Sometimes Apostle Paul, when he goes on a subject, was stopping in the very midst of the epistle. And he says in Ephesians 3:14, for this reason, suddenly, he, in the midst of the whole subject, he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Wow. Suddenly remembers praying for the saints, and suddenly he bows his knees before the Father in prayer for the saints. How important for the church to pray for the saints. How important is it for the church to pray for the pastor who is feeding them the spiritual foods, who cares for the flock and leads them to the living waters. How the pastor studies so much and giving them the pearls from heaven to eat and showing them the heavenly treasures and feeds them, feeding the sheep, and how important that the people in the church should pray for the pastor. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11 says, you also must help us by prayer, Apostle Paul said. That means to help, you need to pray for me, Apostle Paul said. So that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. That means pray for us that the Lord will bless me so I can bless you. You know, if the pastor is not blessed, how can you bless the others with the word of God? The story I'm going to say, there was a man who had a complaint against the pastor. And the pastor heard about the complaint and he went and told the man, let's not talk about your complaint to the other people or on the streets. Come home. Come to my home and tell me your complaint that you have against me. So the young man went. And the pastor told, when the When the man came to pastor's house, the pastor said to the man, I want to tell you that I'm not perfect. I have my weaknesses like others. But whatever you are going to tell me, I pray that it's going to bless me. But before you tell me your complaint against me, let us kneel together in prayer. So the quarrelsome man prayed first, and the pastor prayed after. After finishing the prayer, the pastor told the quarrelsome friend, now my brother, I think we are both in a good state of mind after prayer. Now you can tell me the faults you have against me, the complaints you have against me. The man blushed, he stammered, he stuttered, and he said, I don't think there's any, except it's in me. Pastor said, what is it? I have forgotten to pray for you. And of course, I cannot expect God to feed my soul if I'm not praying for you. I cannot expect for me to grow in Christ if I'm not praying for you. I cannot expect for me to be a strong Christian if I'm not praying for you. I cannot expect for me to witness to other people if I'm not praying for you. I cannot expect to be a mature Christian if I'm not praying for you. And I have neglected to mention you at the throne of grace. You know, many people, they are never growing because they are not praying for their pastor. If they are only praying for the pastor, Lord, I want to hear what the pastor has to say for me today. I want to hear from his mouth that you will speak to me. That is a true, serious prayer from your heart. You know, but people come to church, as usual, come to church. Let the pastor do the preaching. Let the pastor do his duty. Let me just listen. You know, taking it so generally, not really seriously. Brothers and sisters, intercessory prayer is powerful. Believer, you have a mighty engine in your hand. You need to use it. If you constantly use it with your faith, you will bend with supplications. That means you will bend in humility for all the saints. You will pray for one another. When you pray for one another, you show that you have a love. How do you have love for one another? Because you are related to one another. How? Through the blood. What blood? Christ's blood. You are related to one another. It shows our love to one another. It shows that our feeling for one another. It shows that we are united with one another. You cannot have anger and hatred and jealousy against another person in the church if you are praying for that person. Huh? Right? You can. But if you are not praying for that person, then the flesh, right? All that there is flesh. You will have anger, jealousy, hatred, complaints, everything. So here, that's what happened to that man who had a complaint against the pastor, right? Because he never prayed for the pastor. But if you are truly praying, what will happen? Actions will follow. How are you going to, question is, how are you going to prove your love to Christ if you refuse to pray for your brothers and sisters? Think about it, what I said. How you are going to prove your love to Christ, love to Christ. if you refuse to pray for your brothers and sisters. Your brothers and sisters, you see them most of the time. And if you don't love the ones that you see them all the time, how can you love Christ if you never see him? Jesus, the Lord is telling you, he can come and tell, you selfish, wicked, you're always knocking on my door for prayers for you, but you have no love for your fellows and brothers and sisters. Where you see them all the time, how can you love me where you have not seen me? So if you want to prove your love to Christ, you need to show your love to your own brothers and sisters first. And if you love them, and if you, then you know you love them, then you know that you love Christ whom you don't see. So we need to weep with those who weep. We need to rejoice with those who rejoice. We need to pray for those who are in need of prayer. And if you have prayed for yourself, may God help you to believe in Christ first, so that you can pray for others. And so important, the intercessory prayer. There's so much in intercessory prayer. And we need to think about intercessory prayer, caring for others and praying for others. And so much was said today. And basically, in a nutshell, intercessory prayer is what? It's rooted in love. It's rooted in love. Intercessory prayer is because what Christ has done for you. Intercessory prayer is the Holy Spirit that is in you. Then, if you love one another, you care for one another. Not only you pray, you do. There's actions that follow. It's so important. And let's pray. Our gracious Father, how we thank you, Lord, for teaching us by the power of your Spirit, Lord, how you have revealed your word to us, Lord, for your children, that we may know the truth as the Holy Spirit, the revealer of truth, has revealed us your word and shown us and has brought us to green pastures so that we can eat the spiritual food that you have given us. God, we pray and ask, Lord, that we will not be just hearers of your word, that we will not be just knowing your word in the mind, but Lord, that we will be doers of your word in the heart. That we will be obedient to your word, Lord. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that you would help us to be strong Christians. Cause us to know you more and more. Cause our heart to burn, Lord, by knowing you. And Lord, just like the New Testament, Lord, how the brothers and sisters were together. And then when somebody lacked something, what did they do? They shared their food, their clothing, their possessions with the others. That is true love. And Lord God Almighty, today we are living in a land of materialism with a lot of selfishness, pride, envy, jealousy. Oh Father, how blessed is this sermon for us to hear in the midst of this wicked world, that we shall be separated from those who doesn't know you, that we will know, that we know the truth, and that we will live the truth. As you said, the great commandment that you have given us, that we will love one another, and the world will know that we are truly the disciples of Jesus Christ. That we are called the light of the world, ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And the world will know because we bear the name of Jesus. We pray and ask, Lord, that you will convict, encourage, and correct. That anybody who doesn't know you, Lord, that they will come to know you in a real way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, before we sing, something that came to my mind was, remember there was a time that I allowed some brothers to come and preach here. We're going to see the pastor who is going to be. It just came to my mind that according to my knowledge, all the sermons that was given was in the New Testament. I cannot remember anybody giving any sermons from the Old Testament. Old Testament is very, very essential, very important. A lot of times we go to where we know the best. But it's so important for us to get into the Old Testament. The stories that I went through today, you know, there's so much drama. These are real stories. So much passion behind it. So much tension behind it. And those are real stories. And that's why we need to get into the Old Testament and read those. Because it says, Apostle Paul, what does he say? Is things happen in the Old Testament for us as an example for us to follow. So, some people say, well, we don't need the Old Testament, then why have the Old Testament? Old Testament is what? It's the shadow. The New Testament is the life, the reality. And we cannot separate the two. They are one. It's the same God. Same Jesus is in the Old Testament. Same Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament. We cannot separate. So it's the same gospel. In the book of Hebrews says, the gospel that was preached unto them. So, you know, so just want to encourage you at, you know, by any chance, if I'm not here or anything like that, I need to study the Old Testament.